Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd look with me to the book of John and chapter 3. John chapter 3. We're going to be reading starting with verse 16 and read down to verse 21. John chapter 3 this morning. If you would, stand with me as we read the Word of God, if you're able to stand. John chapter 3. One of the most familiar verses in all the Bible. The Bible says, John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deed may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, again we thank you, Lord God, for the privilege it is to be in church, for each and every one that has come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church this morning. We thank you for their presence here. And God, we know that as being the sovereign God that you are, that you knew who was going to be here. And I believe that you have prepared them for the message that you have placed upon my heart to preach today. So I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. John 3:16. Possibly the most important and informative verse in all the Bible. The most important and the most informative verse. I want to preach to you this morning on four of the very important and what should be, I believe, consuming words from God to man out of one of the most familiar verses in all the Bible, John 3:16. First of all, the first word that I want to present to you this morning that God has given to us is the word God. The Bible says, "For God." When you think of the word God, who and what do you think of? Who and what is God? What does God look like? Does God have any physical features? Or is God just spirit? Did God come from man? The God that the world hears about and thinks of, did it come from the mind of man? Or did man come from God? Can I tell you that many that are alive today are still undecided because they've been taught so many different things about so many different gods, if you will. And if they're not undecided, then there's many who do not even want to think about it. They just don't have the answers. They don't want to be confused with how they live their life and what they do. And so I just want that thought of God to be erased. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to have anything to have to change. God. Outside of the evidence of an intelligent design that we look around and view nature and every other thing that our eyes can see, humanity, nature, outside of the intelligent design that would have to be in order to have what we have today and what we can view and what we can see and even study, outside of that and the history of humanity and man's hope and interactions with God. We go back in human history and the interactions that it's been written down concerning God. Outside of that, can I tell you, we have what we've just read from today, this Bible. And the teachings of Jesus Christ, who would have been the only begotten Son, one of a kind. I think the world, in just acknowledging that some 2,000 years ago, that the person of Jesus Christ walked on this planet Earth, in a small bit of ground called Israel, and had an impact. Because we still are talking about that man. We're assembled here together today because of that man that lived some 2,000 years ago, that only lived a short life as what we would see it as, some 33 years, but accomplished things that we still don't fully understand. We have the Bible and we have the teachings of Jesus Christ. We do not need to take man's word for what we believe. Praise the Lord for that. I'm reminded of a farmer that was selling his cow. And a man drove by with a trailer and had the cow, wanted to buy the cow and put the cow on the trailer and had it all ready to go. And he reached down to get his billfold and he said, told the man, I forgot my billfold. He said, let me just take the cow and I'll bring back the money and settle up. He said, you can trust me, I'm a Methodist steward. The man, not really being much of a religious man, but thought, wow, he's a Methodist steward. So he said, surely, yeah, just bring back the money. Go back and find your billfold and bring me back the money. Well, after the man drove off, he looked at his wife and he said, what is a Methodist steward? And she said, well, it's somewhat like a Baptist deacon. And he said, oh my, we just gave away our cow. Yeah. You don't have to take a man's word for it, even a Methodist steward or a Baptist deacon. We have something that God has given to us. Something that God has preserved. That God has put his hand upon so that we might know who God is. Where he came from. Where he's at today. For he will be throughout eternity. See, Jesus revealed what we can know and understand about God. If you will, in the very same book of the Bible, the book of John, look with me to chapter 14. Because still a lot of people have that question, and they're like, "What? Where is God? If God is real, what does he look like? Who is he? What is he?" In John chapter 14 and verse 8, Philip, one of the apostles, one of his disciples, saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Show us who God is, the Father, that you tell us to pray to. Jesus had taught them, when you pray to God, pray to him as your heavenly Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Holy God, this God that's in heaven. And he wants us to see him as our Father. Show us him, and it will suffice us. We want to see a picture of God. Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me, he that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Wow. Jesus' disciples had been following him. They had seen him do so many things. They had heard him preach and teach things that no man had ever heard before. They knew him to be more than a man. Can I tell you that God is more than a man? They knew him to have unlimited power. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. Omnipotent. Unlimited power. God in Christ, and Christ in God. They knew him to have unlimited knowledge. He taught them of things that no man had ever taught anyone before, that no man knew. He taught them of what they were, what they could expect, what the future held. Not only did he teach them about the past and understanding the Old Testament and where they was at today, but he taught them things that no man could ever have known on his own. Only the philosophies come out of man. But this man spoke with the power of God. Unlimited knowledge, but possibly more than anything else, unlimited love. Unlimited love. Can I tell you that God is infinite? That means he has no limits. And he has no bounds. Man is finite. What that means is man has limitations. A finite mind cannot fully understand an infinite mind. We cannot fully understand everything about past. We cannot understand everything about even this day and age that we live in today. And we definitely cannot understand everything about the future and what the future holds. But God has revealed to us what we can understand. In the Bible, he has given us different signs and different symbols in order for us to put it together in our own minds to comprehend what we can comprehend about past, present, and future. So that we might know the existence of God, that God is real, and that God that is real wants us to know him. He wants us to know him. And that's why in John chapter 3, verse 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Mankind was already condemned. Mankind had already been born with a sin nature. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants you to know him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus was God who had manifested in the flesh. He was so far above any other man. He was more than a man. He was God in man's flesh. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world. Jesus was that light. The men loved darkness rather than that light because their deeds were evil. They have a sin nature. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why people don't want to believe in God. They don't want to believe in a supreme being. They don't want to believe in a God who established morality. They don't want to believe in a God who has given us a way to live our lives. They don't want to accept that their lifestyle is evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. If you bring that darkness into the light will reprove the darkness. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God is real, and God wants us to know him. That's a consuming thought. God. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, the next word I believe ought to be a consuming word for humanity today. Not only God and the reality of God, but this next word is, for God so loved the world. World. Not talking about the physical earth. God didn't send his son into the world to save the earth. What the Bible's talking about, that word world refers to human life. Human life is so much above any other form of life. If you know God, then you know that mankind was created in his image after his likeness. Man, human life is the crown of God's creation. Because God in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, after he created man out of the dust of the earth, he breathed into his life. This body is nothing but the dust of the ground. It's just out of this earth. This physical body came from this earth. But God breathed something inside of this physical body which would be eternal. God breathed his life into this physical body of a man. And because he breathed his life into this man, man become a living soul. Man has an eternal soul. Man has an eternal conscience. If man was created, and he was, then we have value and purpose to our Creator, to a Creator God, who loved you, who loved all humanity, who loves the world. Man was created with an eternal soul and conscience, which makes us aware of God. Life. Death. Judgment. And eternity. No other life form has that. No animal has that. No mammal has that. No plant life has that. Only man. Only humanity. Every human soul is precious. Every human soul, no matter where they were born, no matter what their skin color, every human soul is precious to God. And God so loved that human soul that he sacrificed the most important thing that Almighty God could sacrifice. He sacrificed himself in that he sent his only begotten, one of a kind, Son of God, to die, to pay a sin debt that humanity owed and could not pay. The world. Mark chapter 8. Look back there with me. Mark in chapter 8, Jesus wanted them to understand how important the human soul is, the eternal soul of man. Mark in chapter 8, verse 34. The Bible says, "And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." God wants us not only to know him, but God wants us to follow him, to live as God would have us to live on planet Earth. "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel, the same shall save it." And then verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" And so many give their lives to making money, and so many give their lives to just pleasures and whatever it might be. Was it gain? If you had everything that you want, this life has to offer. And can I tell you, that's a carrot stick that Satan uses. Once you start following after that, you'll never achieve it. You'll never reach it. It'll just control your life. For that's the love of money is the root of all evil. It's that love of it. It can give your life to it. And your life is worth so much more. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose what many don't even realize is the most precious thing of all? His own soul." In this life and throughout eternity. "Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" What can Satan offer you that you sell your soul to for whatever that is? Yeah. "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation," because you want to live an adulterous and sinful life, "of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Wow. That's a consuming thought. Humanity. The soul of man. And every man has one. An eternal soul. An eternal conscience. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For whosoever believeth in him," the next word, "shall not perish." A consuming thought. Perish? To suffer spiritual death. To be removed from God's presence. He's talking 3:16. Jesus is teaching, and he's telling them about this God, and he's telling them about how every man, woman, and child has a human soul, has an eternal soul, has an eternal conscience, and he's trying to help them to see this, and he wants them to believe in him so that they will not perish. This word perish ought to be a consuming thought. Because it's real. Because of Adam's sin, all are dying Every one of us in this auditorium and every human being around the world is dying. We all are headed to a day when we will have a physical death. We're all going to face a physical death, but no one has to perish. No one has to perish. And you say, well, I'm confused if I'm going to die. What do you mean? If I'm going to die, how can I not perish? Isn't that what the Bible is talking about? Isn't that what that word perish means? No, it's talking about being removed from God's presence. Because man has an eternal soul and a conscience, he will face judgment. And it will be what comes out of judgment that will decide whether you perish or not. And Jesus says, if you receive me, you will not perish. For God so loved you, he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross to pay a sin debt that we owed and could not pay, so that you would not have to perish from his presence. John chapter 11. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, what Jesus taught Mary and Martha concerning Lazarus after he died. John chapter 11, verse 25, the Bible says, Jesus said unto her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You're dead, but you don't die. Amen. How does the world explain that? And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Even though we are all going to face a physical death, it doesn't mean that you're going to perish. Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27. I've only got just a couple more minutes here, so follow with me. This is so powerful, such a great truth. But Hebrews in chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says this, and as it is appointed unto men, and right here it's the key here, once to die. There's two deaths. For those that'll perish. There's a spiritual death that all of us are born into. Because of our sin nature, the wage of sin is death. If you've only been born once, you'll die twice. If you've been born twice, you'll only die once. Do you understand that? You see, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. When you were born physically, you were born into a physical body. And in that physical body, you have an eternal soul. In that physical body, you have a conscience that will convict you. And when the Spirit of God comes and convicts your conscience, then your conscience convicts your spirit, and your spirit has to make a decision. What will I do with God? What will I do with Jesus Christ? You'll either choose to believe him and receive him, and if you choose to believe him and receive him as your personal Lord and Savior, you will never perish. But if you refuse to believe and receive Jesus Christ, After you die physically, you'll stand at the judgment, the great white throne judgment, and then you will have a second death when it is made clear that your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you will be cast into outer darkness, into a place that God has prepared for Satan to be out of his presence. Only God can do that. But he prepared a place for Satan and his angels, and all who will fail to receive Jesus Christ will be cast. The Bible says a lake of fire, perishing from the very presence of God. There's one last word I want to share with you. A consuming thought. A consuming thought of God. There's a consuming thought of the world, human soul, different from animal, different from plant, different from any other life form because of God. A consuming word of perish from the very presence of an eternal God. You find this last word in John 3:16. It should not perish, but have everlasting. A consuming thought. Everlasting life. There is life beyond the grave. There's eternal life beyond the grave because you have an eternal spirit. You have an eternal soul. And all will spend eternity in a devil's hell or in the abode of God. Heaven is too glorious for a finite man to fully comprehend. God gives us a little picture here and there about heaven. And in closing, I want to share a thought that we have here that God gave the apostle Paul in the book of Philippians in chapter 1. And write it down if I go too fast for you. But Philippians in chapter 1, Paul says this, verse 23. Verse 21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To have a physical death is gain," because he knew to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But he says this in verse 22, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." If you don't take anything else away from understanding everlasting life, can I tell you, it is far better than any life you've ever experienced. Any pleasures you've ever experienced. Any joy that you've ever experienced. It is far better. You cannot totally comprehend it. It's the abode of God. It's where God, who's the creator of all things, it's where he abides. And I get to go there. And even though I can't understand everything that's going to be, I can't fully understand the glorified body, I can't fully understand the angels, I can't fully understand the creatures in heaven, I can't fully understand all of it, but I can know this, it's far better than anything on this planet, on this earth. Far better. We will not be gods. Don't let anybody teach you that. But we will abide in the same place as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When my children were in the house, they abode in our house. But they had the same privileges. They had the same roof over their head. They had the same comforts. Amen. We controlled the environment in the home with a heater in the wintertime and an air conditioning in the summertime. They enjoyed the same comforts. They enjoyed the same food. They could get into the refrigerator and eat whatever was in the refrigerator. They could get in, they enjoyed the same things because they were our children in our home. Can I tell you that God says we're his children and we will abide in his home? The good thing about this, we never have to leave. It's everlasting life, abiding everlasting life in the house of God, in the abode of God. It's not like this earth. It's so much that's far better. It's not like this body. It's so much far better. It will exceed our greatest expectations because it is far better. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to perish, but you will if you don't put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's from the words of a God who cannot lie. Take his word for it. Don't take my word for it. Take the words of a God who cannot lie. Acknowledge you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Look to Jesus Christ and receive the gift of everlasting life. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. One of the most powerful verses in all the Bible. One of the most informative verses in all the Bible. John 3:16. Do you know him? Are you living like you know him? Are you enjoying the relationship with him here and now? If you're not, you're missing out on so much here and so much there. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you take it. Convict the hearts of those that need conviction. Comfort the hearts of those who need comforted. Work inside of each one your work. And your plan. And I pray as we give this invitation, anyone that needs to make a decision, God, would not hold back. They would come to this altar and do whatever it is that you have them to do. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.